Hey, welcome in. Time for a daily editorial this Wednesday midweek. That's a big day for somebody. Sometimes it's a big day for Big Al. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think this thing with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden is fait accompli yet? It's really not, and Jim is going to tell you why right now. A decision came out this morning where they gave Mr. Biden Jr. a plea deal, and it was pulled. Why in the hell was it pulled, Jim?
Right. So let's go back to the beginning. So David Weiss, the Delaware prosecutor that had actually worked for Bush and then for Obama in the Justice Department for a long period of time, and then was appointed at the insistence of the two senators, Coons, I don't remember the other one from Delaware, by Trump. He was investigating the Hunter Biden, both tax fraud issues and other crimes. And, you know, what they did is after years, they went ahead and announced a plea deal because the statute of limitations had run out on some major criminal tax violations, really in the millions of dollars. But then they cut this deal to let him off basically with misdemeanors for tax fraud and for a federal gun charge for lying on on the form when he applied for his gun that he wasn't a drug addict after he's gone to apparently six different rehab efforts over the last 20 years. So this was a pretty significant plea deal, good deal for Hunter Biden, but he went to court this morning in Delaware, and the judge in the court asked the prosecutors if, in fact, this plea deal would somehow affect other potential investigations like a FARA, Foreign Agent Registration Act violation. And the prosecutor said no. And the judge turned to the defense lawyer and said, okay, then what's with the deal here? And the defense lawyer said, then there's no deal. And so the prosecutor said, okay, no deal. And apparently they went on a recess, came back, and basically that super sweet plea deal to get him off on misdemeanor charges on both the federal gun charge and the tax violations were basically dropped, thrown out of court, and they're going to go ahead and renegotiate it. Now, this has become an unbelievably corrupt political act by the Department of Justice and the FBI to protect the Biden family. And with this court case, the media really has no other choice but to say, okay, first of all, according to the court report this morning, Hunter Biden did plead guilty to the gun charge before they actually threw out the plea deal. He pled guilty to the tax charges, but then the entire thing fell apart because his lawyers thought that he was going to get a free ride on any other charges. But in fact, apparently that could not be done by the prosecutor. And I'm pretty sure he was embarrassed at that point and wouldn't be able to say, oh, yeah, we would ignore these other charges because of the media attention, which really puts the Biden family and the FBI and the DOJ in the crosshairs of a lot of negative press and views.
You know, I got to say, Jim, this is such a black mark on American history. It's amazing. But I have to tell you, I am still flabbergasted when I hear so many liberals say, who cares? We didn't vote for Hunter Biden. We voted for his dad.
Well, that's the whole issue, though.
Right. I know.
They voted for Hunter or for Joe Biden on the assumption that he was an honest guy.
Right.
And the fact that they've been covering and the media has been covering up and protecting him. Many of these people don't realize the direct connections, the influence, the accusations, the threats made by Joe Biden or Hunter Biden through Joe Biden in order to collect money from foreign governments.
Right.
With that knowledge, many of those people that have been standing up and defending him would say, wait a second, what's going on? And we know that from the Hunter Biden laptop story alone.
Right,
we know that had that been reported properly before the election, a high probability that the outcome would have been different.
Yeah.
Maybe not, because, again, we can't even trust who counts the votes. And I want to make this point to our listeners out there that pay attention to this, Chartster in particular. When I'm talking about who counts the vote, I'm talking about machine counting of the votes.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm making. If you can't trust and you can't see who's collecting and who's doing it, it is a machine issue. So I'm not being ignorant of that. I'm not avoiding it. I'm making that very clear point on who counts the vote. So again, with what's happening here with Hunter Biden, with the media protection racket that has come to protect the Democrats and the Biden family, it's becoming absolutely difficult for them to stand up. And of course, that's going to be difficult for the Democratic Party to keep behind Joe Biden with all these issues.
Well, it's going to be difficult, but I don't think it'll be impossible, Jim.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's not impossible, clearly, because it does come down to, you know, who counts the votes or how they're counted, right? And if they think they have that control, then they'll be able to continue down the road. And typically, tyrannical authoritarian leaders do whatever they can to protect themselves. And of course, you know, as someone once repeated, or at least claimed that Hillary Clinton said in 2016, if we lose this election, we're all going to jail. This is a real case where the Bidens, in fact, and with a different Trump presidency or another Republican presidency, whoever it is, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, pretty much anybody out there that's got any chance of winning a Republican nomination, they're going to see a big backlash. Once again, if there's some illegitimacy to the process. Now, let's say, once again, we can't trust the system, right?
Yeah.
And the election turns out in absolutely to be fabricated.
Okay.
And Biden gets reelected, or another Democrat gets elected, in spite of all the things that are happening right now. My question is, how long will people continue to put up with the corruption?
Forever, Jim.
And, you know, it doesn't happen that way. I mean, I was in Berlin when, you know, the Czech Republic, when everything changed.
Yeah.
I watched when people finally stood up and killed Ceausescu, you know, and they finally, you know, there's a certain point.
Jim, I got to put a halt just for a second. Somebody's at the door. Okay. Just 5 seconds or 10. Jim, we had a slight break there. Can you pick it up where you left off?
Well, sure. I guess I can. We were talking about, you know, what happens and how much, you know, people will put up with.
Yeah.
And really the question becomes, how much information do they have? Because if they have information, questionable information, they're not going to put up with this forever. And you're seeing, in my view, you're seeing a movement away from corporate media. You're seeing a lot more independent media out there and a lot of questions being asked by different groups.
But unfortunately, at this point in time, when you say we're seeing a lot of independent media out there, I agree, and I read all of that independent media, but the fact of the matter is, I think it is... I don't think any of the Democrats believe it, Jim. I think they just consider it to be a pain in the ass.
It's not about the Democrats. It's about the moderates and the independents who don't want to be associated with either party, right? And that's the difference between pretty much any election.
All right.
So, and what we're talking, well, that's the difference in a legitimate election.
Yeah.
But you're seeing a lot, you know, with the agenda that the Democrats have pushed, and we've talked about this quite a bit, with open borders, with the kind of Green Deal that's really impacting, the environmental climate change issues, those aren't winning. They're not winning arguments.
Yeah.
With the transgender issues, these are not winning arguments. So Democrats themselves, the hardcore, they're not going to give up, right? They're going to keep defending their position because they really aren't going to open their mind to it.
No, they're
but
not.
But there are Democrats that are beginning to see, oh, my gosh, this isn't really what I wanted to see and not what I thought I was voting for in 2020,
right,
if they were voting for Joe Biden. They, you know, they wanted a guy that was going to be calm, you know, that was going to come in and take away the all the angst that was by bad tweets from Trump, and that was going to re-legitimize the White House. But what you've got is an old guy that really is embarrassing on a global scale. And a lot of people are saying, wait a second, what's up with that? So again, it doesn't take a big, politically, it doesn't take a big number of people to switch over. Remember, Al, the entire five counties that determined the outcome in the Electoral College of the 2020 vote were less than 100,000 votes out of roughly, according to sources, 160 million votes. So, you know, 100,000 out of 160 million votes, that is not a safe margin of victory for Joe Biden.
No.
So, again, if you have independent media is gaining ground, corporate media is losing ground, and you have a lot of, like, live streams. So the entire issue that we've been talking about over the last week with the Jason Aldean song, Try That in a Small Town. So this huge pushback for a couple of days from the left.
Yeah.
Right? Huge pushback. And, oh, it's racist. It's all this because he stood in front of the Tennessee Capitol where there was apparently an 18-year-old hung in front of the Capitol in like 1927 or something like that. Yeah. So all those accusations were really targeting a particular group of people to get them inflamed. But you know what's happened? There is a huge backlash against CBS Viacom and Country Music Television, who, you know, CBS Viacom owns Country Music Television, saying, oh my God, you know, what do you think you're doing? This is like one of the best guys out there, and we believe in this song. We like the song. But you're also seeing a large group of, and I've watched numerous videos this morning, of black web, you know, stars, whatever you want to call them, social media stars or TikTok stars, whatever, that have, you know, pretty good followings, that were actually watching it and saying, I don't get it. I don't understand why they say it's racist. I mean, kind of, we want to take care of people in a small town.
Yeah.
These are black, you know, community efforts. So those things are happening, and the mainstream corporate media can't control them as much. The censorship industrial complex can't control that voice. So there's something changing. Now, will it change completely? I don't know. But I will say that it is the beginnings of, if you will, a revolution against kind of and, you know, revolutions are not by a lot of people. Remember, the 3%ers that are being, you know, hounded by the Democrats now and by the Justice Department, basically were formed because they were the 3% that actually fought, you know, on the name of 3% that fought the Revolutionary War. Only 3% of the population fought the war, and only 3% were strongly, you know, committed to give their lives to a better nation. It doesn't take a lot to switch the outcomes, and what we're seeing now is a lot of people waking up. It is slow, but it's a process that, in order for America to survive, must continue.
So what you're saying is, I heard what you just said, but let me see if I can put it differently. What you're saying is there's going to be a revolution, but it's going to take some time.
I think there is a slow burning revolution right now to push back against some of these ideologies. And I think that if the controllers of knowledge, if the controllers of voices and speech, if the corporations and the corrupt political leadership continue down the road they're going, they're going to see even a bigger backlash. This started, the frustration started with the fallacies of post 9/11 and the wars that went on nonstop.
Yeah.
And the failures of the Bush administration to decisively bring those to an end. And then the continuation of the Obama administration to use his position to install democratic power against the popular opinion of most culturally, you know, moderate people. And what you're seeing in the media and what you're seeing from Hollywood and what you hear on most network and mainstream media outlets is not actually reflective of the majority of the people in America. And of course, the culture wars in these big urban areas, they are changing young people. They are influencing. There is a Marxist movement to change young people in America, to alienate them from their parents, to take away their identity as, you know, a boy or a man or a woman. And you see it across the board. It's being driven by what's happening in Hollywood, I'll just say it. I think it's happening by a lot of creepy people that want to justify their own morally decrepit actions. And
Of course it is, Jim.
Yeah, and I think the Chinese have a big part to play in that, to try to weaken us, that Marxists have a big part to play in it. And the reality is most Americans don't really want to put up with it. So there's a breaking point when they're going to say, you know what? Enough's enough. And as long as we have a Second Amendment, as long as we have a Constitution, as long as we have some legitimacy somewhere that people can point to and say, you know what, I want to strive towards a better place.
Yeah.
Then I think we're going to be going in the right direction. And I think we have been going in the wrong direction for a long time now. But and this has gone throughout history. You know, we've seen it. We saw it in the 60s and 70s. We saw it in the 30s with a big move towards Marxism, socialism, even the United States, with FDR, with Social Security, with all the benefits and all the, you know, the CCP, or the CCC and the, California Conservation Corps. I'm trying to remember the national program that put people back to work.
Yeah.
These were socialist ideas. And of course, it ended up in an ugly war, but things changed because of it. And you saw 8 years of Eisenhower, then you saw a swing back towards the left, and then you saw Reagan, and then a swing back towards the left, and then, you know, Bush kind of, you know, globalist ideologies and made huge mistakes with the people that he had in positions of power and a basic fundamental view that he was responsible for the world, which is a mistake.
Yeah.
And you see Obama pushing back against that. You see the blowback, you know, again from with hiring or electing Trump. And now you see an all-out effort by those very powerful entities, financial corporate powers that are trying to appeal to a particular reason that are right now that are trying to appeal to their influence and their power to maintain it. And I think, like Teddy Roosevelt back, you know, at the turn of the last century, you're going to see a pushback, and some of these people eventually go the other direction. And I'm hopeful. At least I'm hopeful that that's the possibility. Well, that's the way our systems work.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one thing. You know, the first indication there was, to me anyway, was the small town song. Now, the only problem I have with what I just said is, did that song affect enough and the ensuing reactions, you know, by the Country Music Association, et cetera, were enough reactions resultant from that particular song? Were there enough reactions to make the country aware how screwed up we are right now?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think that there's that much, but, you know, people have to be questioning. Again, Hunter Biden, this whole plea deal kind of goes, they were hoping the White House was hoping that this thing would go away very quickly. And it's clearly not going away. There's more information coming out of corruption. There's an individual, a lawyer who actually was worked for the Department of Justice, but actually worked in the for the vice president's office, who is actually an assistant U.S. attorney in the Delaware office until 2019. He had a very close relationship with Hunter Biden, And it appears that that may be one of the reasons why they were able to, you know, there was a lot of protection going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why they were, you know, they pushed this prosecution off, because he's probably one of the prosecutors that were involved. It's hard to say exactly. We won't know. But more information like that is coming out. The FBI report and Chuck Grassley on the Senate floor yesterday said, hey, look, there was no reason to give a redacted version of that. It was not classified. And oh, by the way, I had already read it before Christopher Wray and the FBI gave it to me, unredacted. And he basically said FBI was obstructing their investigation. These are powerful statements.
Right.
They're going to be really hard for people that actually trust in the Constitution and the rule of law to ignore. And you're going to have more people like Jonathan Turley, very, you know, well-respected constitutional lawyer, will step, you know, step out. He's saying a lot of things these days. You're going to see more people that step out and say, you know what, Joe Biden is, and the way that they actually can't ignore this much longer. They can't protect it. And all the journalists and the editors that have been protecting him, at some point, they're going to have no credibility left if they continue down that road.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
That changes financially. It changes the dynamics for those big corporations.
Okay, you've got it. You're making a very good point. You're talking about three major players, and I think the point that we're making here is pretty well set in stone. I'd like to take us, as far as you and I are concerned, just a short break. And I'd like to come back and record something that I will put up as a second segment to this. The people can kind of take a deep breath and then go on with the second segment, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, hang on.